We begin the current daf, Masechet Kesubas daf Kof Tes. We begin on the bottom line of daf Kof Ches Mem Beis. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of the opening Mishnah of this parak, which has two different Tanoim, Chanon and Admon, where there are two halachas that Chanon said, which relate to the topic of Masechet Kesubas, and regarding seven halachas that Admon said that the Chacham argued on them. And our Mishnah is up to the third halacha that Admon said that argues on the Chacham. So the Mishnah says, "Ha'paisik moyis lachasone." If someone set money for his son-in-law that he's going to provide for him, upasha loyis a regel, which is a very colloquial term, but means literally that he stretches out his leg to him. Now, either Rashi says that's a term of disgrace and basically like throwing up his hands in the air, and in this case, his feet, and saying that I don't care, I'm nothing, I'm not giving you anything, and you could take the cement off my foot. Or Rashi says that he heard the interpretation is that you can hang me by my foot on a piece of wood, but it's not going to help you because I have nothing to give you. So he's pashat es haregel, he doesn't have anything to give anymore. So I think we're continuing the top of Koptes and Alf, and the Mishnah says, Teshiv Acha Talbin Reish, the Tanakhama says, so he could keep this woman that he has to be married to until her hair turns white on her head, and he's not going to get married to her because his father-in-law that promised him money, he's not giving him anymore. Asman Leimah, he argues. He says, no. The woman could say, look, had it been that I promised I'm going to bring in this amount of money into the marriage, and I'm not giving. So, Eshev Achat Talbin Reish, I understand why I would have to sit until my hair turns white on my head. But Achshev Sha'aba Pasak, now that it was my father that promised certain money, what could I do? Either marry me or let me go. But don't keep me in this situation where we're engaged and I can't get married because my father that's reneging on the money that I promised when it's no fault of my own. I'm Rabbi Gamliel. He says, I see the opinion of Admin that he's correct and that is, it's not the woman's fault and she shouldn't have to be stuck in this situation because her father's not giving the money that he promised. Now the Gemara says, Masnit Nulaika Haitana. Our Mishnah's version of their machlokes is not like the following Tana. The Tana learned of Braisa. Amr Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda argues and he says, Loi nechluku admin b'chachamim. Admin b'chachamim do not argue regarding the case of our Mishnah. Ala paisig mois l'chasana. If a father-in-law promises money to his son-in-law, upasha lois a regel, and then he doesn't give the money, sheichayli hichatem, most definitely everyone agrees that she could say, look, Abba pasakalai, my father promised certain money. Mani chaylasas, what could I do? So that they don't argue, even the Chacham would agree that he can't make her just stay in that situation of Igun. Aman Nechluku, what is it the case that they argue about? Al Shapaski hi al Atzma, when she herself promised that I'm going to bring in this amount of money. Shechacham, that's where the sages say, Teshavat Shetabim Reisha, what do you mean? You promised you're not? So good, I don't have to do anything until you bring in the money and your hair could turn white on your head. Admin Oime, Admin says, no, she could still say, I thought my father was going to give. I know I promised, but I thought my father was going to help me. But now that my father's not giving, what could I do? I don't have my own money. Either marry me or let me go. He says, I see fit the opinion of Admin. Now, Tana, we learned, and this is going back on the Bryce that we just quoted from Yisrael Behuda, when did we say the opinion of the Chachamim? That is who, and they say that you could wait until her hair turns white. That's big doyla. That's by an adult. Af biktana kaifen. But if she's a minor, then we force. So the question on this price is kaifen laman. When it's a minor that promised that she's going to bring in money, who we forcing? Elim la'av, if he's in such a situation, then we do force the father to provide. Ibrahim Bailey, actually, it should be the exact opposite. In other words, if there's ever going to be a situation when you should force the father for what his daughter had guaranteed on her own rights that she's going to bring into our marriage, it should be the other way around. Because an adult woman, when she makes a condition, her words can have binding effect because she's an adult. But why by a minor would you say that when she promises and doesn't have that, then we force the father? So Elam Rabba, rather Rabba says, who's kaifen, who do we force? Kaifen labal liten get. When it's a minor girl that she made a condition, she's a minor, what does she know? So therefore, if the daughter doesn't have what to give then, and the father's not giving either, then we force the husband to give a get. This Chacham said that, no, you promised, and then he could wait it out until she turns old and gray. That's only if she was an adult who made a promise, but a minor, then we force him to give it again. Now, Amar Bisra bin Elazar b'Shmei Dechezkiah, he says, Kol Makom She'amar Mimlil, wherever we find our Mimlil says, as we find in our Mishnah, Admin, I see fit the opinion of Admin in his argument with the Chachamim. Halacha k'maisa, halacha is like him. Now, on that the Gemara asks, Amli Rav L'Rav Nachman, Afilu b'Braisa, is it even like we find in this Braisa's version, where Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda's version of the Machlokes has it that even when she herself was the one who said she's going to bring in money, and Amlil said that halacha is like Admin, that still you can't force her, even if she's the one that promised it. She could say, Oikonus, Oipater. Is it even over there that we said that when Ramlul is saying it's like Admin, that even there Allah is like Admin? So Amalei, so he responded to him, Mikamrina b'Mishnah, did we say that the Allah is like Admin when Ramlul agrees to him only when it's in the Mishnah? B'chomokum shom, Ramlul, Kamrina, we said anywhere where Ramlul is saying like Admin, the Allah is going to be like Admin, even in the case of the Braitza, even when the woman herself promises, if she doesn't have, she could say, look, you know, fine, so let me go, or marry me anyway. Now, Amar B'Zeiru, Amar Rabba Bar Yimir, he says, regarding all these Mishnayos of Aperek, based Dvar Mishama Chanan, regarding these two halachas that recorded in the name of Chanan, where the Chacham argue on them, which were the first two Mishnayos, halacha kayoitzabai. The halacha follows like, where the Mishnah says, kayoitzabai, the Mishnah says that, just like Chanan says this, so too says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, like Chanan. So Rabbi Zera says that Allah follows like Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, who is like Chanan in those cases. And Shiva, Devar, Mishama, Admin, the seven opinions which are quoted in the name of Admin in these other Mishnayos, in Halacha Kayoitzibah. If Halacha is not like the one who the Mishnah says, that so too he says like him, who's the Kayoitzibah of Admin? That, as we find in our Mishnah, Rimun Lil, who he says just like Admin, the Halacha is not like Rimun Lil. Now that thing has my comment. What was Rabbi Zera saying? If he was saying as follows, Shnei Dvar Mishama Chanan, the two opinions quoted in the name of Chanan in our Mishnayos, Halacha Kamaisei Ukayetza, Halacha Falzai Chanan, and the one who says like him, which is like Riechim and Zakkai. However, Vesheva Dvar Mishama Admin, but the seven opinions state the name of Admin. In Halacha Kamaisei Belokayetza, but Halacha is not like him, and the one who says like him, which is as quoted in our Mishnayos, Ringam Liel. But that the Gemara asks, as we just said this before, wherever Imlil says, I see fit the opinion of Admin, the halacha is kamais, halacha is like Admin in those cases. So how could we say that the halacha is not like Admin in these cases where kayitza by Imlil says like him? So El Rav, the Gemara says, this is what Rabbi Zeir was saying. He said, Shnei Devarim Shamachanan, two halachas Achanan says, halacha kamaisa ukayitza by halacha is like him and the one who says like him. Meaning that opinion. Shiva Devarim Shamah Admin, the seven opinions said by Admin, in halacha kayoitzaboy, halacha is not like Rabbi Gamliel, who only in three out of the seven opinions mentioned by Admin says Roy and these Devar by C's opinion. Halacha is not like Rabbi Gamliel, because actually Gamliel should have seen fit to agree to all seven opinions. Because hakamaisa halacha gebekulu, because actually we're saying halacha is not like Admin in the kayoitzaboy, meaning in Rabbi Gamliel, who says like him only in those. And then those three cases. Because actually, it's not just in those three cases. It's actually in all of the cases. Now, that the Gemara asks, how can you say that? Again, going back to that previous statement. But V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar b'Shmei Dechezkiah, he says, K'makom She'amar Rabbi Gamliel, whatever Rabbi Gamliel says, Raya Nias Devi Admin, I see fit the opinion of Admin, he says, Halacha K'maisa. Now, the inference is, Amar in, where he says Halacha's like him, then it's like him. Loy Amar Loy, where he doesn't say it's not like him. So how can you say that all seven are going to be like Admin and not like Gamliel, who only agrees on those? So Ella, rather, the Gemara concludes, Hachakama, what Rabbi Zeir was saying with as follows. Shnei Dvar Mishama Chanan, the two halachas Chanan said, halacha kamaisa, because Yitzhak halachas is like him and the one who agrees to him. Shiva Dvar Mishama Admin, however, the seven halachas of Admin, when it says halacha is not like him, meaning because Yeshmen Shalacha kamaisa, Yitzhak, there are some of his halachas that are like him and meaning like the one who agrees to him. But the Yesh mentioned in halacha, but there are halachas that are not like him, but rather like the one who is like him, who sometimes agrees to him. In other words, The Kamakim Sha'amring Mlil Roya Nistivya Admin, wherever of those seven halachas, which are three of them, there Mlil says, I see the opinion of Admin, then halacha kemoise. Then halacha is like Admin, but inach loy, but the rest not. Therefore, that fits well together with the other statement, which we say it's only where Mlil says, I see fit the opinion of Admin. Now, the Mishnah continues with the fourth halacha of Admin of the seven, with the Chacham arguing him. So the Mishnah says, Ha'oyre al hasadim. If someone contends regarding a field, meaning if Reuven protests regarding a field that's in Shimon's hands, and he says, look, although Levi sold you this field, I just want you to know, Levi stole that field from me. And therefore, actually, it's really my field. Now, but there's an additional part to this story. V'hu chasam aleha. Reuven himself had signed on the document of the sale of that deed when Levi sold that field to Shimon, as be'ed, as a witness. So Admin says that that's not a problem. Reuven can say, the reason why I didn't protest at the time when you purchased the field from Levi, and even more so, not only didn't I protest saying, how can you sell it if it's my field, I actually was a signator. I was a witness in that document as an aide. Very simple. Hasheni noich li, the second person, meaning the purchaser, meaning you, are more preferred for me. And Vaharishin Kashemena, but the first one, Levi, is a very difficult person. He's a very strong-minded person. It would be very difficult for me to get my field back from him, even though he's a thief. Now, I preferred that in court, that it'll be documented that the field is yours, so that you're a person that I could litigate against and I could win from. Because really, always, it was my field, just that he stole it, but I'll never win him in court. So I let it, and I even signed that it should be sold to you so that I could litigate against you and win. Therefore, Admin says that definitely that's not a reason to show that he lost his field. If he could prove that it was originally his field, then actually it could be his. But Chachamim, they argue. They say, no. Ibet as Zechusai. He lost his rights. Even if he could show that it was once his field, since he signed on this on the document of the sale from Levi to Shimon, he obviously agrees he has nothing more to do with this field. Therefore, he lost all rights and it remains with Shimon. However, according to everybody, if this Levi, if we're calling him, the one who's holding on to the field right now, if he makes that field, which Reuven's contending is his field, as a simin la'acher, as a sign, just as an indicator to somebody else, in other words, if let's say this person that he's claiming is a thief didn't sell it to Reuven himself, to who's protesting about it. Rather, he sold it to a different person. Now, he wasn't selling that actual field that Reuven's contending was stolen from him. An adjoining field was sold by this Levi to somebody else. Now, when he was demarcating the area of the field, of the four sides, he wrote in one of the sides, is bordering on this other field, which is mine, which he's using as a simon, as a border for the purchaser. Now, when he signed on the document, he wrote that it's my field. And this Reuven, he himself was a witness that signed on the document, and he didn't protest. So that the Mishnah says, Ibed es Chusay. Even Admin would agree that now he lost his rights to that field. Because here we can't say the logic that Admin said in the first case, that saying, oh, I prefer the second person. Because here his field wasn't the one being sold. His field was being used as a simon regarding the neighboring field, saying that, oh, and the one who he's claiming is a thief was saying, and the neighbor is my other field. And Reuven signed on it, agreeing that it's his other field. Now, what do you gain over there? You're not gaining anything, because there it's still remaining by him. You can't say, I prefer the other person, and that's why I signed on it. And therefore, according to everybody, in that case, he would lose his rights to the field. Now, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Lo yishanu. We didn't learn this opinion of the Chacham that hold in the first case of the Mishnah, where he signs on the sale from Levi to Shimon, that then he lost his rights. That's Ela 8. That's only if he signed as a witness. He signed as a witness. You're agreeing to the sale. Obviously, it's not yours, and therefore you're allowing the sale to go ahead, and you're even signing on it. But I will die in if, let's say, he's signing as a judge. Now, what that would mean is, why is a judge signing on the document? What happens is they would bring a document, in this case, a sale document, to the courts, to what's called to be mekayimit, to what's called kiyum shtaris, where they validate the document, where the witnesses come and testify that these are our signatures, and then the judge is right, Shtara Danan Nafik L'Kadmana, this document was brought in front of us. Vasidu Sahab the Achasim Sidai, and the witnesses who there are certain situations when they have to verify it because of someone claiming that it's not a true document. So the witnesses have to verify that this is their signature, and they have testified that it's their signature. Vasharina Vakamina, and therefore we certify that this is a valid document. So therefore, if this Reuven was just a judge signing as Kim Shtaris, Loi Ibid Asachusai, he has not lost his rights to contend that he never agreed that it's Levi's field which is being sold to Shimon, either according to the Rabbanan, because he doesn't really know what's written in it, to protest and say, what do you mean? How can you sell this field to Shimon? It's my field. He doesn't know as a judge, because the Torah Pekhila, Pekhiyah taught in the Raisa, in ha'edim chesim al ashtar, witnesses are not allowed to sign on a document, elam ken karu, unless they read it first, because what are you signing about? You're signing about certifying the contents of the document. You're saying that it's true, whatever it is being claimed, that he loaned money or owes them, whatever it is. Now, however, as we tell in Tamid Beis, aval hadayon in chesman, but judges are allowed to sign regarding the kiyum shtaris, aval pishulei karu, even if they didn't read the contents of the document, because all that the judges are doing is that they're certifying that the witnesses came and recognized their signatures, who they know what the contents are, and therefore, if he signed as a judge, that would not be problematic even according to the Chachamim, and he wouldn't lose his chus because why didn't you be ma'ar? I didn't know what's written inside. Now, then the Mishnah said, according to everybody, also similar acher, if that his field was used as an indicator of the border of the other field next to it, being sold by Levi to someone else, and he signed on it, then he lost his rights because then he doesn't even have the claim of saying that I just preferred to litigate against the other person because his field is not being sold over there in that case, and yet he agreed that it's being called that other person's field. Now, however, Amar Baye says, Loi Shanu, we didn't learn. In other words, the Mishnah was specifically talking about El Ala Achar, only if this other person who he's claiming is a thief of his field was selling the neighboring field to somebody else, and he signed on it, so therefore you don't have the claim of saying Noyech Li Yaseh Sheini, so then according to everybody, lost his rights. But let's say if the one who's took over what he's claiming his field, went and made the neighboring field as a sign of his other field, and he's selling that other field to Reuven, who is claiming that the other field is his field, then actually, even if he's then, again, using that as a sign for the boundaries, and he writes that this my field that I'm selling to you, Reuven, borders on this other field which is mine, and Reuven didn't protest, what do you mean? Loi ibed asechusei. In that case, he hasn't lost his rights. Because the Amar Reuven could say, idloi avdi lehachi, if I wouldn't have done what I did, meaning to be quiet, and not say, wait a second, look, I'm buying this field for you, but on the document you're writing that the neighboring field is yours, that's not yours, that's my field. And then lo have a mazmin li nahale. He wouldn't sell me. What, you're contending this is your field? Forget it, get out of here, I'm not selling you this field. So therefore, it makes sense why he's quiet. Because he wants to buy this other field. Forget about protesting the other one. Now, ma'is l'chalmim, what would you say that, no, I you're right, I couldn't have made a big fuss, because then he wouldn't sell me this other field. But you would tell me that I should have at least notified people, meaning I should have told the witnesses who are signing on this document privately that you should just know that although that this field I'm about to buy, there's a neighboring field which is written in the document that it's his field, truthfully is I protest. And the reason why I'm being quiet and I'm not writing that this other bordering field is mine, not his, is because if I would protest, then he wouldn't sell it to me. So that's a claim against him. You say, you're right, you could have been ma'ar, but you should have told the witnesses in private, and they would know that it's not considered a haida. That he says, no, that's not true. Because chavra isle, your friend has friends. If I would have told the witnesses, one of the witnesses, he has a friend. The chavra isle, and your friend's friend has a friend too. In other words, if I would have told the witnesses, then the word would have gotten out somehow. Because that's how it goes. You tell one person, he tells another person, and then he would have found out about it, and he wouldn't have sold me the field. And that's why I couldn't even tell the witnesses, and therefore, my bias is in that case, everyone would agree that he has not lost his chus, because there he actually does gain by not protesting that he can have this other neighboring field sold to him. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha. Ahuda asa similar acher. There was similar type of case as the case we just described. where somebody went and made the neighboring field, and on the border of the contested field, used that as a sign for someone else as about bordering my other field. Now, and this person that claims it's his field, he even signed on that document. And Irur Bishachav, he protested and he says, what are you talking about? It's really my field. And then he died. Now, before he passed away, he established for his property, for his estate, for his orphans, for his inheritors, someone appointed to take care of his affairs for the Yisayim. Now, Asa Apotropos Lekameid Abaya. So the Apotropos came in front of Abaya to try to win the most for the ones that he's taking care of. Now, Amalei, but Abaya told him, the halacha is, as we said in our Mishnah, Asa Simala Acher, if somebody goes and makes it into a simon, his field that he's contending is his. When it's being sold by the other person, the neighboring field, and he writes that the bordering field is his, and that guy himself, Reuven, signs in it, Ibeles Chusa has lost his rights. So I'm sorry, you know, you're taking care of this person's affairs, but he lost the rights. But Ahmed Apotropos said as follows. He says, look, if the father orphans would be alive, and he has to try to get the best tainus he could have, he would have claimed and said, tell him echad, one furrow which goes along the entire length of the field, asisilach, that's what I agreed to you when I signed on the document that the bordering area is yours. In other words, between my field that I'm contending is mine, and between your field that you're selling, that furrow is what you wrote, that on that boundary of that side, you wrote it's yours, and I signed on the document, I didn't protest, you're right, I agreed to you, but not because the whole field, one furrow on that side is yours. So Amalei Abaye said to him, Shapo Kamer, that's a good taina. The Amar Bichlan, like Rabbi Yechanan says, in the explanation of our Mishnah, he said that although he said that if he signed as a similar acher that he lost his rights, Rabbi Yechanan says, but if he claims and he says, tell him, yes, I said that that's your boundary on the other side of the field that you're selling, but it's only one furrow that's yours. So Neman, he'd be believed, because although we know that it was once his, and it was potentially stolen, but we say that if he wrote already that he's agreeing that it's a person's boundary, so he agreed, and therefore he lost the rights, but if he could then explain that to mean that it's just one furrow, then he has the rights. Now, but after that, the Apotropos brought a proof for the rights of the Yisayim to get that neighboring field by saying that it's the father's and it was obviously stolen from him. And this, that the other person is trying to take possession of it, he has no rights. The only positioning he's getting is because the father himself agreed to it when he was using it as a simon for the sale of the neighboring field. So Abaye told Apotropos, it's fine, but zil havle, but now give at least that machzik, the person that's taking that possession of it, that's claiming that it's his field, at least give him mias talmecha. Now you have to at least give him that furrow, because he did agree to him that what's neighboring was his. So you're saying it's not the whole field, it's just one furrow, but at least give him the furrow. Now, however, that Apotropos wasn't happy with that, because havallah, there was on that one furrow, richva dedikla, there was a whole row of interwoven palm trees, one next to another, which was something very valuable. So he didn't want to even lose for his yisayim that he was taking care of, even that one furrow. So Amalei, so he said to Abaya, look, he said, if the father of the orphan would be alive, he could claim, he would have claimed and said, you know what? After that I made that furrow, that boundary, as a sign that it's his, you're right. It was mine. It was stolen from me. I gave him that furrow. But then I went and purchased it back from him. And he would be believed. Amalei Abaye said to me, right, Shabu Kamer, yeah, that's a good claim too. Because the Amar Bichlan says, Im toin va'amar chazarti b'lakachta mimenu, neman. If the person then says, you're right, I used it as a sign to indicate that it's his and it was his. But then, since it's all coming from me, I then went back. I could say I went back and brought it from him. He's believed. Now, that's based on the halachic principle of what's called a pesha aser, who a pesha hitter. The mouth that makes the problem could be the same mouth to resolve it. In other words, since there are witnesses that this was originally his field, and obviously it was stolen from him by that other person. Now, the whole rights that that other person has to this furrow is only because of the Reuven himself made the problem by losing his rights because he made it as a simon when he was selling the neighboring field by saying that the boundary was his. So that's called Pesha Asa. He made the problem. But the same thing as a Pesha Hitter, he could then go ahead and say, but I bought it back from him. So the only reason why you know it's not mine is because I wrote as a Simla Acher. But just like that, I could say a Pesha Hitter, I could say and rationalize and explain why it really is still mine by saying I bought it back. And therefore, Abai says, you're right. And not only do you get to keep the field for the assignment, you even get to keep the Talon Echad because of a Pesha Asa, a Pesha Hitter. And on Abai said, Haiman de Mukam Abitrab, if someone's ever appointing someone that to oversee his affairs, Nukim Kihai should put in someone like this person, he obviously knows how to find the merits and the rights of the orphans, like he did in this case, where he first got the field and then even got the pharaoh. Now the Gemara moves on to the next Mishnah, on the fifth halacha that Admon argues on with the Chacham. So the Mishnah says, Misha halach l'medina zayam. If somebody goes overseas, of the derech sadehu, and he has lost his path that he had going to his field. In other words, he had a field that was surrounded by other people's fields. Now, the bordering fields around him went and just took over that path, and let's say it's grown over now with grain or whatever is growing over there. He lost his path. He doesn't remember exactly where his path cut through by somewhere here where the fields are. So Admon Ami says, Yelech le-biktzara. He says that he can forcefully take a new path to his field, but it should just be the shortest path possible that he could choose, that not to make it any longer, but obviously somewhere he had a path. So therefore he could take the shortest path that he's able to find going, let's say, from the street to his field. But the Chachamim, they say that no. Either yiknalei derech b'meimana, either he pays the person that he wants to make a path going through his field to his field for 100 mana, or yifrech ba'avro, let him fly in the air. You can't go through someone else's field. You don't know where your path was. You can't just go ahead and take a path. Now, the Gemara wonders, my time with Rabbanan, what's the reason of the Rabbanan? In other words, Shapa Kama Admon. It seems like Admon has a good claim. Now, as Rash explains, the Gemara's assumption, the question is that the four neighboring fields in the four directions around his field was owned by one person. So that's what's called Maman of Shach. Either way you look at it, the guy could tell him, the one who came back from overseas, I had a path here somewhere. Now, I'll take the shortest path to make sure I'm not taking more than what I deserve, but I definitely had a path there somewhere. So therefore, what's the understanding of the Rabbanan? Why do they say that? No, you either got to pay, I'll make it cheap, or jump in the air, and you can't go through my fields. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Maravi explains the case as follows. Our Mishnah is talking about Kagoyin Shehekifuha Arba B'nei Adam Me'abaru Chesed. It's actually talking about that there's four different people surrounding his field on four different sides. Now, therefore, the Chacham and the Rabbanan say each person could tell him, you didn't have a path by me, you had by him. You don't have no proof. And therefore, each one could tell him, go ahead, jump in the lake, or jump to your field, or pay me money if you want to buy from me a path. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ihachi, my time to Admon, if that's the interpretation like Rabbi Yehuda said, Nim Rab, so what would be the understanding of Admon? How, according to Admon, could he forcefully take a shortest path? How do you know it's through this person? Maybe it's through the other person's field, and you're stealing from him a path. So rather, Amar Rava, Rava says as follows. He explains. He says, Barba the Asumikarba, if you have four different people who purchased their four fields from four different people, or even Barba the Asumikarichad, and if let's say there's four people on the four sides, who they even if they purchased all their fields from one person who originally was the one that owned it, but they purchased from that one person after this person had left. Kule amale pligi, no one's going to argue. The matzi matchile, each person could push him off and say, look, I know one person was the original owner and you had a path through him somewhere. But I tell you that it was on the north. Don't come to me on the south. And the guy in the east says, no, don't come to me, it was on the west. How do you know that it was in this part of that person's field? And therefore, each person could push him away. And everyone would agree, even Admon, that either pay me money if you want a path or jump into your field, but you can't walk through my field. Now, however, ki pligi, what is the machlekes in our Mishnah? Bechad the asim mikoyach arba. We're talking about where all the neighboring fields were owned by four different people. Now, when this guy went overseas, one person bore all the neighboring fields. Now, the machlekes is Admon Sabar, Admon holds that mikamokum darke isli gabach. The guy who comes back says, look, I don't know which is the one of the four people, but either way you look at it, you're one owner. Now, one of your four fields is a place where I had a path. I'll take the shortest path, but most definitely I have a right to walk through one of your fields, because it was your in your four fields is one of my paths. Now, however, Rabban and Sarvi, they hold that no. That this one person could tell him, look, ishaskes shaskes. If you're quiet, stay quiet, and I won't overcharge you that much when you want to buy a path for me. But viloi, but if not, you know what I'm going to do? Madrona shtar lemarai. I'm going to return the documents of the sales to all the original four owners. And then v'lemetzis lishtu'ud din about dayu. You're not going to be able to contend with them, because when it's as it originally was before I bought it, four different people, that, as we said, everyone agrees that you have no claim, because each one could say it was in that other person's field or in that other person's field. So although I'm one person now, and definitely somewhere in my fields you have a path, but if you work with me and you'll buy it at the price that we agree upon, fine. But if not, I'll make it back to its four different people, and then you won't have a path to go through. Now the Gemara brings a story related to the Allah of our Mishnah. Hahuda Amaluhu. There was a certain person when he was dying, told to his inheritors, Diklo Labras, I want that a palm tree should go to my daughter. Now, although the inheritance goes to sons, he wants a Diklo to his daughter. Now, Azal Yasmi, but the orphans went, and Poliglo Nixli, they divvied up, they split up the father's property, his estates, and Lo Yabalo Diklo, they didn't give the daughter the palm tree. Now, Sav Rav Yisrael Lameva, Rav Yisrael thought to say, the Haina Masnitin, this case is the same as our Mishnah, where every son that she goes to says, Tati said that I get a palm tree, he could say, look, go to him. Your palm tree is in his fields. And the other one could say it's in his fields, which is like the opinion of the Rabbanan. That everyone could say, go to him, go to him. And therefore, she has essentially lost out on a palm tree. Now, Amalei Abaye, Abaye said, Rabbi Yisrael, me dummy? Is this comparable to the halach of our Mishnah? Hasam, in the Mishnah, kol chad v'chad matzi matchilei, everybody could push off the other person. In other words, the one on the east could say, no, your path was in the north. You never had any rights by me. And everyone could say, how do you know? Maybe it was by that other person. But hacha dikel gabayu, here, when he was dying and he said in his tzava, when he commanded that all his estates has the responsibility of at least one palm tree going to his daughter, and he didn't say which one. So therefore, actually, the responsibility is on all of them. Each one can't push him and say, maybe it's by him, maybe it's by him. Not true, you all have the responsibility. Therefore, it's not comparable. So the question then is, so my takantai, so what should they do? If she has the rights, but which one? And if she takes from one of the sons, then he's losing, why should he lose more than any of the other brothers? So on that, Abaye says, leisu la dikla. So what they do is as follows. They give her a palm tree, wherever it is. And then what they do is then they go back and they re-split the estate, because they can't give it now, because that means one of the sons can lose out more than the other one, and they all have an equal share in that responsibility. So they first give up a palm tree and then they re-split it equally, evenly amongst themselves. A related story the Gemara brings, Ahuda Amalahu, there was a certain man and he was dying who said to them, Dikla Labras, I want a palm tree to go to my daughter. Now, Shachiv Vishavik Trey Palga the Dikli. So he passed away. And amongst all his other palm trees that he had, he also left over inheritance two half of palm trees. What that means is that it was a partnership. He didn't own the whole palm tree. He was a half owner. Now, the orphans gave to her those two halves, which obviously is more challenging to take care of because you don't get a whole thing in one place. She only gets half in one place, half in another place. Now, Yasser Rav Asher b'kokashlis. Rav Asher was sitting and wondering, does a person call two halves of a palm tree, aloy or not? And therefore they have no rights to give her two halves, because he said that she should get two halves. She should get a palm tree. So Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Asher, Mordechai said, Rav Ashi, Hacha Amar Avimi Ma'agrini Mishmei De Rava. This is what Avimi from Agrini said in over the name of Rava. That Kara Inchi L'Trei Palgi Dikla Dikla. That it does happen that when we're talking about halves and thirds, It is normal for a person to call two halves of a palm tree when he's splitting up his estate, to call that a palm tree, because 50% and 50% is 100%. And therefore, that against her will, she has the lower hand, because the estate is obviously in the chazakah of the Yisraelim. They're the ones who inherit the estate. But just that they have a responsibility at least to give one palm tree to her. So since she's only coming from the rights of the tzava, therefore, they have the rights to choose which one they're going to give her. And since two halves is like one, they definitely have the right to give her the two halves of the palm tree and not one whole palm tree.